Our speaker is Thomas B. Warren.
What is the greatest tragedy that can befall any human being? What is the greatest tragedy in human life? We want to look at that for a little while this morning, and I hope that you'll have your Bible handy so that you can refer to various passages to which I might refer. First of all, let's look in Matthew chapter 26, and beginning with verse 69. Now Peter, that is the Apostle Peter, was sitting without in the court, and a maid came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and saith to them that were there, This man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he again denied with an oath. I mean, he was really getting strong with it. I absolutely do not know him. I know not the man. And after a little while, they that stood by came and said to Peter, Of a truth, thou also art one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known. The very way you speak, your accent, makes it clear that we know who you are. Then began he, that is Peter, to curse and to swear, I know not the man. And straightway the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said before, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. The Apostle Peter denied Jesus when he didn't think he would. Is that the greatest tragedy that can befall a human being? Let's look at some things. So far as I can tell from human life, that many of us feel is really a tremendous tragedy. I want to talk to you about, first of all, some of the things that are not the greatest tragedy before I come to the point of what is the greatest tragedy that can befall you, me, anybody in the world. First of all, I suggest to you that material poverty, the fact that you don't have a lot of this world's goods, is not the worst thing that can happen to you. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 58, we find the statement, hath not where to lay his head. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus Christ. Was that the greatest tragedy? No, he makes clear that it's not. In Philippians 4:11, therein to be content, Paul said, guided by the Spirit. In other words, whatever you have in life, you work hard, you do all your work in an honest way, you do it as you feel the best you can do, and when you've done that, then be satisfied with it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, the brethren at Corinth were in deep poverty, and yet somehow or other they were able to give, to muster a gift to those who were even more poor than they, or perhaps not as poor, but were still poor. So it's clear that in the eyes of Jesus, being poor, physically or materially, is not the greatest thing, the worst thing that can happen to you. What about disease? Disease of your body. We all are concerned about that. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, I have a thorn in the flesh, something in his body. He didn't specifically identify it, but there's evidently something ongoing, something chronic that was constantly plaguing him. Yet Paul did not allow that to be the greatest tragedy in his life. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said, Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I lose all of what I have, my family, my goods, my land, I will still trust in the Lord. What about imprisonment? That's certainly a hard, terrible thing. Can you imagine what it would be like to go to prison? There may be some of you people who are in prison. I plead with you to recognize that Jesus Christ has not forsaken you. If you will respond to him, he certainly will listen. In Acts 21 and 13 is a passage which makes that clear. We must not regard ourselves as being in the worst possible situation if indeed we are imprisoned. We rather should, as Paul said in Philippians 4:4-7, to rejoice and be exceeding glad, to couch ourselves so that we can be what God would have us to be. What about the loss of loved ones? What a shock we come into as we learn that some member of our own family has had a tragic accident or has a terrible disease to die, clearly to die. That is not the worst tragedy that can befall us. Job lost his wife. Job lost his children. He lost his possessions. And yet, that was not the greatest tragedy by any means. Lazarus, of course, was a man who was guilty or was a victim of leprosy, and yet he kept his cool, as it were. He stayed strong as a servant of God. What about one's own physical health? The Bible teaches that we must not allow ourselves to become downcast because of it. I've had enough physical illness to know within myself that it's a terrible thing. But we must have a good life. We must have a good conscience. We must strive to do right in the face of it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. What about sin? Surely you're saying, well, it's not anything with our material goods, it's not our money, it's not our bodies, it's not how many friends we have and all of that. So it must be sin is the greatest tragedy. To be sure, every sin we commit, every single one, every evil thought, every evil word, every evil deed is a tragedy. But is it the worst tragedy that can befall us? Well, there was the case of adultery. David was guilty of adultery with Bathsheba, according to 2 Samuel 11. But this wasn't the greatest tragedy in his life. He could recover from that. He could be forgiven. He could go on living. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And Jesus and the woman taken into adultery when the people brought her into his midst. Can you imagine the callousness of those men, willing to bring her to such public shame? It was, of course, a shame. But no one should treat another person in such fashion. Now, that's not the greatest tragedy. What about lying? David lied. He lied about his adultery and his murder of the woman's husband. Abraham lied, as we read both in the Old Testament and in the New, in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. The fact that a person tells a lie on occasion, even if it comes to be a big habit with him, is that the greatest possible tragedy? No, it isn't. Is it a sin? Yes, it is. Every sin we tell, every lie we tell is a sin. But it's not the greatest one. It's a tragedy, but it's not the greatest tragedy that can befall us. What about murder? David had Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, the woman with whom he consorted sexually. But that's not the greatest tragedy. It is indeed a great tragedy, but it's not the greatest one of all. What about the denial of Christ? All the apostles denied that they even knew Christ. Of course, Judas was a leader, but the rest also did, as we read in Matthew 26 and verse 56. But all this is come to pass that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples left him and fled. That was a sin, wasn't it? It was wrong for them to do it. They should not have fled in that way. It was wrong. It was against what they should have done. And they betrayed Christ. Is betrayal of Christ the greatest tragedy? Of course, we know that an apostle was guilty of that. Judas. Judas Iscariot. Matthew 26, 14 to 16 gives some of the record. And verses 20 to 25 in that same chapter. How he went out and kissed Jesus. To betray him was bad enough, but to do it in what was apparently an act of love was even worse. Judas was guilty of betraying the very Son of God. Was that the greatest tragedy that could befall Judas? I submit to you that it's not. And I want to explain to you why I say that. What is the greatest tragedy? It's seen in the two cases of Peter and Judas. Both of them were apostles. And there was much good in both of them. There's much good in Judas. He was a disciple of Christ. I have no doubt that Jesus picked the best men he could find when he chose the apostles. Judas was not always bad, but he went bad. He came to the point that he betrayed Jesus. He was an apostle, and he was loyal to Christ for a time. But what happened? There was also evil in Judas. There was also the tendency, as he grew along with Christ and the others, he began to espouse that which was not right. He criticized good. When people did good things, he criticized them. And he stole from the bag. He sold out to do evil. He took money from men to betray Jesus, to point out to them so they would know for sure which one Jesus was. And he betrayed him. That was a betrayal, as we find in Matthew 26, verses 47 to 50. Now let's switch for a moment to the Apostle Peter. Let's leave Judas where he was in betrayal, in his act of betrayal, and let's look at Peter for a time. Peter bragged on one occasion, comparing himself to the other apostles of Jesus. Jesus indicated that they would betray him, that they would forsake him. And Peter spoke up and said, "Lord, all the rest of them may betray you, may leave you and forsake you, but I will not." And Jesus made clear that he would. He told him that he would. He failed in that he denied Jesus. He failed in that he forsook him. But the Bible tells us this very, very meaningful statement that Jesus looked on him. Jesus looked on him. Didn't say a word, apparently. Now, what did Peter do? What did he do as he looked into those eyes of Jesus? The eyes of a person who'd never been guilty of sin and never would be. It made Peter think of his own sin, and he went out and wept bitterly. Now Judas is gone. He's betrayed. Peter has denied him. What is their particular status? Which one is on better ground? Well, they're both on very bad ground. Was Peter and Judas both involved in the greatest tragedy that can befall a human being? No, neither one of them was. The greatest tragedy that can befall any human being has not yet been mentioned. What is it? I'd like to urge you to think about it. Try to decide, what is the greatest possible tragedy that could happen to me? Would it be losing all my money? Would it be losing my health? Would it be losing my wife or husband or my children, my parents? Would it be losing my job? None of those things, I suggest to you, is the greatest tragedy that can happen to any human being. Jesus went out. Peter went out. Peter went out and wept bitterly. They both are gone. They both are away from Christ. But Peter came back. He came back to Christ, indicating his sin. But now let's look back to Judas. What did he do? Judas also claimed to be faithful. Matthew 26:35. He went out and betrayed Jesus, betrayed him with a kiss. And then he repented himself. I know a lot of people read where Judas repented, and they say, well, if he repented, why didn't he go back to Jesus? In a way, it's unfortunate that a different word from metanoia in the Greek Testament, the original Greek, which was the word for repentance that we have where people have really changed their mind. Metanoia really means change of mind. But metamelomai, which is the word used when it says that Judas repented, well, it simply means that he regretted it. He was, in a sense, sorry about it, but he didn't regret it enough to change his mind, as Peter did. Peter repented, changed his mind, and went back to Christ. But Judas did not change his mind. He merely regretted it. He was sorry that he had done it, but not sorry enough to go back to Jesus, to fall down before him and say, "Oh Lord, forgive me, I have sinned." He gave back the money that he had been given by the Jewish leaders to betray Jesus. And they simply said, "See thou to it." What is that to us? It doesn't bother us that you bring the money back. You have done it, we asked you to do it, and you have done it, and that's the end of it. Judas is now at the point where he should have within his own heart, he should have changed his mind and gone back to Jesus as a result of that change of mind and have asked the Lord to forgive him. Would the Lord have forgiven him if he had done that? Yes, he would. Even Judas. Even the man who betrayed him. We may look at Judas and say, "Oh, what a terrible man." And then every one of us can look into our lives, no doubt, and see things that we have done that are sinful, that are wrong, that are not what Christ would have us to do at all. Maybe we repented of those things, and maybe we have not. If you have not, you had better, or else you'll be lost. To repent, to change your mind, "I will not do this anymore. I will go back and serve the Lord Jesus Christ." So Judas was at the point when he threw that money back to those men who had paid him off to betray Jesus and had gone to the Lord and said, "I have done this. I've given them back. I'm sorry, I changed my mind about it. I want you to forgive me." Would the Lord have forgiven him? Of course he would. The Lord's feeling toward the woman taken in adultery was very similar to that, though we're not told that she repented. Simon Peter did repent. And you know whose sermon is recorded? Of course, the other apostles also preached on the first day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That was the day the church that Jesus bought with his blood, was established. And those apostles preached the gospel. Peter's sermon is recorded, and we know that he said to the Jewish people, "Ye but the hand of lawless men have crucified and slain." That is, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have crucified and slain. Isn't it marvelous that the Apostle Peter was allowed to preach that message on the day of Pentecost, and that his sermon is the one that's recorded in detail? You see what a terrible crime he'd committed to betray Jesus, to refuse to confess him on that occasion. That, in a sense, is a betrayal. But he didn't. Peter comes back. Great difference between the apostle Judas, who went out and wept, but did not repent. Now let's put the focus on ourselves. What have we done in regard to these matters? What's the greatest tragedy in your life? Have you gone away from Jesus? That is indeed a great tragedy. Have you obeyed the gospel and then later turned aside from it? You're now unfaithful? Let me plead with you to think seriously and prayerfully about your life, about the case of Peter. Have you betrayed Jesus? Have you refused to confess him? At the place where you work, you're involved in your business, you're involved in your job. Do you refuse to confess Jesus? If people come, let us say, just for an example, and they tell vulgar jokes in your presence, rather than explaining that you do not wish to be involved, do you join in the laughter? That indicates that you are, in effect, betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you dishonest in your dealings? It doesn't matter that you're there in church every Lord's Day. Then you still are betraying Christ. It's still a sin. If it is path of Judas or the path of Peter, the path of Peter led not only to disclaiming against the Lord Jesus Christ, but of refusing for a time to repent. But he did repent. And so we have the path of Judas, who was sorry for it, but he wasn't sorry enough to repent and come back to Jesus and tell him that he was wrong. What path are you on? What path am I on? If it's the path of Judas, are we hanging ourselves on the rope of neglect? Judas went out and hung himself. He killed himself. A man who was a good enough man to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and yet somehow or other Satan led him away. Satan led him away from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Led him away from living the great Christian life, preaching Christ for the rest of his life. Led him away from the life that would have assured him of eternity in heaven with God Almighty. What about you? Is your life one of neglect? Are you neglecting your responsibility to become a Christian? If you haven't already done that, haven't already as a penitent believer been baptized into Christ, won't you do that? Won't you do it soon? Don't trifle with your life. None of us knows that we'll be alive on earth tomorrow, or even an hour from now. Don't neglect. Go to be baptized, and then be faithful in the Lord's church. Have you been guilty of the sin of indifference? You're a member of the Lord's church. You've been baptized into Christ, but you don't really care very much about it. It doesn't make any difference to you. Sometimes you go, and sometimes you do not. Sometimes you say things that you ought not to say. They're denigrative to a Christian. Sometimes your words and your actions may be leading somebody else away from Christ instead of your being strong and faithful and lovingly telling others about Christ and urging them to do what is right. Then your example may be the means of their being saved. Is it that you've said to yourself, "I'm going to be a Christian someday"? I realize that to be a Christian, to become a Christian,
I must be baptized in the name of Christ by His authority. I want to do it. I want to do it very much, but I'm just not quite ready to do it. How could you possibly make that sort of decision? It's as if you know how long you're going to live. As if you know you're going to live the rest of this day and this week and this month and this year and this decade. None of us knows that. It is appointed on a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. When you die, there's nothing more you can do about your life. Think about the great lesson we're learning here, if indeed we are, from Judas and Peter. Judas betrayed Christ, went out, was sorry about it, hung himself, but he never came back, never repented. Peter did his dastardly deed in denying Christ, but yet he came back because he repented. And he was a great and faithful apostle. Procrastination can lead you away from God. And in fact, you're putting off your obeying the gospel or perhaps being restored as an unfaithful Christian to go back and confess that you haven't lived as you ought and now you're willing to do that. Don't delay. Don't delay. Do that the very earliest opportunity. Call someone. You don't have to wait for the Lord's Day. You can be baptized any day, any hour of any night. Or maybe it's worldliness is holding you back. You look at the world and you see rich people, big cars, big houses, a lot of fame, a lot of fortune, head of big companies and all of that. What in the final analysis does all that amount to? A person may make $100 billion in the last few moments of his life. Of what value is it? We all need enough to live and eat and have a place to stay, to bring up our children, to treat our families as they ought to be treated. But riches and worldliness, all the things that go with it, are simply not worthwhile. Let me urge you as we close to look at these two men, at Judas and Peter. Both of them sinned. Both of them violated their responsibility. But one of them was merely sorry and did not repent and went out and hung himself. And the other, however, repented and came back. And his sermon is recorded in the second chapter of Acts to help us to see what we need to do to be saved. As we come to the close of our study, let's pose this question again. What is the greatest tragedy that can happen to you or to me or to anybody in the world? It's certainly not merely sinning once. That isn't the point. Or any kind of physical thing in our lives. But it's to have become to the point of loving and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, then falling away. And that's not the greatest tragedy. But having fallen away to not come back to the Lord and ask His forgiveness, which He has clearly promised to do.